Go ahead and take your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter number 39. Genesis chapter number 39. We're going to continue on in our series in the book of Genesis. And this morning, we're going to look at the life of Joseph a little bit closer. The last time we left Joseph, 2 weeks ago, we saw that Potiphar's wife was trying to get him to commit adultery, trying to get him to be able to have intercourse with her, and he said no. Even though she tempted him over and over and over, he said no. And then in the story here, Joseph ends up in jail. And titled this morning's message is, What to Do in the Prisons of Life. What to Do in the Prisons of Life. Have you ever felt like you're trapped? And the idea of that you can't go anywhere, you just can't do anything. You feel like no matter whatever happens to you, you feel like there's just nothing you can do. And that's kind of the idea today, the prisons of life. And I'm not talking about someone who has been convicted of a crime and is behind bars. I'm talking more about trials and valleys and troubles of life. They can be compared to a prison experience. You feel like you're stuck. There's really nothing you can do. And the story here, we're going to see in Joseph, he actually is in a jail or a prison. Even later on in the Bible, he calls it a dungeon. It's a pretty nasty place. Today, the prisons that we live here in America are usually clean. People get food. People get everything need. Get air conditioning, get heat, even get to have meals. And, they have a lot of benefits that wouldn't have been the case back here in this jail here. This is more like a hole in the ground, and it's just very dirty. People are bond and they're in chains, and it's just not a very good place. And this is where Joseph ends up at. And here, let's actually read here in Genesis chapter 39. Let's start off here in verse number 17. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant, now this is Potiphar's wife talking to her husband, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. So Potiphar obviously is upset. He's angry. So what does he do? He goes and he takes Joseph and he puts him in jail. It says in verse 20, And Joseph's master took him and put him into a prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. So we see here that he is placed in prison. It says the Lord was with him. God showed him mercy, gave him favor in the sight of the person who was in charge of the prison. You see, Joseph actually becomes the person that's in charge of the prison. He actually is a doer for those that are in the prison. Verse 23, And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. The idea of this morning's message is, what are you supposed to do when you're in the prison of life? Like I said, Joseph here, you can only imagine some of the things he must have been going through. Joseph here, he remember way back home, back in the land of Canaan, his father loved him more than all his brethren, gave him that coat. We know that he was taken, he was thrown into a pit, he was sold into slavery. Now after being sold into slavery, he had Potiphar's wife making this false accusation, and now he's sitting in prison. Imagine what he must be feeling right now. One of the things I think he must be feeling is lonely. Lonely. He's cut off. He's shut off from his family. Once again, he's cut off and shut off from his father. His father's older this time, not even sure if his father's alive, not even sure what his brothers had told his father, and doesn't know any of those details, but I'm sure at this moment in time, he feels very lonely. I know sometimes in the prisons of life where we feel like there's so many things around us and we're perplexed, feel like we're boxed in, is a time where we can feel lonely. But you also think Joseph not only must have felt lonely, he must have been disappointed. Must have been disappointed. Anytime somebody falsely accuses you, it's something that usually a person gets upset about. But not only is he falsely accused, Potiphar believes his wife, and he's disappointed because he ends up in this prison. He must also be discouraged. Say, why would he be discouraged? Well, you think about it. He has done nothing wrong. He has done nothing that has caused him to be sold into slavery, thrown into a pit, slave to Potiphar, now sitting in prison. You know, he must be discouraged. Also, something else he could have felt was misunderstood. misunderstood. I'm sure he felt like he was misunderstood by his brothers and then misunderstood by Potiphar and Potiphar's wife. And now he's sitting in prison. I also think he must be confused. If I was Joseph, I know I'd be confused because he remembers the story. Remember back when Joseph had those dreams, and in Joseph's dreams that he believed were from God, talked about how his brothers and his mother and his father someday were going to bow down to him, that he was going to be lifted up in some type of ruler form, and that people were going to be bowed down to him. But he's sitting here in prison, and it says he's bound. It's not like a prison cell that you see today where they get to go outside and maybe play a little basketball, and they get to go outside and do some different things and lifting weights, and then they come in and they can watch TV, and they can come in and they can go into their jail cells back and forth during certain times. They're not bound in the idea that Joseph here is probably bound with either his hands or his legs, these chains or something that he has to drag along with him. I'm sure in this story, he must be someone who is confused and says, okay, God, you told me this was going to happen to me, and look at where I'm at now. What's going on? I tell you, sometimes in our lives, when things are not going the right way, sometimes in our lives, we feel like we get boxed in and we're in some type of prison cell. What are we supposed to do? And there's a couple of things here I want you to look at. But before we get to that, think about it. Many of the great men of the Bible found themselves in prison, not because of something they had done illegally, but just because of the fact that this is the way that God wanted to use them. You think about Daniel stuck in the prison cell with the lions. You think about Jeremiah just put in prison for preaching gospel. Hosea, John the Baptist, John, Peter, Paul, and Silas. All these men, because of the fact that they were serving God, placed in prison. Had done nothing particularly wrong at this point in time. But inside each of these prison cells, the Lord reveals himself, reveals his power and his providence on the behalf of his servant. So, well, what does that mean to us? Well, ourselves in the prison sometimes we find ourselves in, the trials, the valleys, the troubles of life can be compared to a prison experience. These times can cause us great problems, but these can also be times that cause us great amounts of success. So where do you see that? Well, you think about the different people that were in the prison cells, such as Paul and Silas, all the wonderful things that happened, the Church of Philippi, those that were saved and the encouragement. Then the Church of Philippi became a place that would support missionaries and use as a testimony in the Bible. You think about Peter and John, how when they were let out, the things they did for God, God was able to use them during this time. In fact, I believe that when God allows us to go through prison experiences in our life, he's trying to teach us something. He's trying to show us something. So these are three things I think we need to do when we find ourselves in a prison cell or in a prison experience in our life. First thing I think we need to do is we need to see God. So what do you mean, see God? I'm not talking about in some visible form where we can touch him. I think we need to remember that God is with us. Look what it says here in verse number 20. It says, and Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. And it says in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. This is the point that we've been driving home for the last month about the story of Joseph. He has faced problem after problem after problem, and now he's sitting in jail because he's falsely accused. What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to get mad? You're supposed to get angry? You're supposed to say, hey, Potiphar's wife is a liar? You know, that's not going to help anything. And when we get falsely accused, we got to remember the Bible teaches us some different things we need to do. And we're going to go over that in a second. But what are we supposed to do? Well, in this time, I think we need to look for God. We need to see God. We need to see what God's trying to do. We need to see what God's trying to work out in our lives. We need to remember God has promised us that he's never going to leave us and never going to forsake us. And we need to always remember that God is with us. Now, the devil's going to come to you and the devil's going to try to say, well, where's your God at now? I can only imagine what the devil was trying to get to Joseph. When the devil couldn't get to Joseph through Potiphar's wife, he said no, he didn't want to sin against the God, so he brings him to this place in prison. I'm sure he goes up and begins to whisper him, where's your God at now? I thought that you were going to have your brothers bow down to you, and now you're bound in this prison. You're never going to get out. And the devil will do whatever he can to try to discourage you, and he will do whatever he can to try to get you to get angry and get mad at God. But we need to remember this. This is an important key, and this is something that we must trust over and over is that the Lord is with you. A few weeks ago, we learned because the Lord is with us, there's some things we should not do. Because the Lord is with us, there are some things that we should do. And Joseph is reminding this. He's sitting in the prison cell. He has a choice here. He can say, God's given up on me. God has failed me. There's no way God is in such a dirty, disgusting place like this. Or he can look for God and see what God is trying to do in his life. And when we get in the prison cells of life, and we might feel lonely, we might get disappointed, might even get discouraged and feel misunderstood and be falsely accused, we need to look for God. We need to see what God is trying to do. Joseph could have become bitter. Joseph could have said, forget it. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to waste my life away sitting here. Well, you got to think, Joseph here, probably about 17 years old when he was sold into slavery, probably spent a few years at Potiphar's. He's stuck in prison, and he's stuck in prison probably at least a good 8, 9, 10 years. He's 30 years old by the time he gets out. And I know that some of us, maybe that are 50, 60, 70s, 80s, you know, you get stuck in prison. Well, I've lived my life. Everything's pretty much. I don't want to be here. But you know, a 20-year-old? 20-year-old wants their freedom. A 20-year-old wants to be out doing things. And where's Joseph? He's stuck in a prison cell. What can you do? When you have life is so much boxing you in and you have no idea, you're out of control, you're bound, and you have no other choice, what should you do? Look for God. See God in your life. See what he's doing. Look to him and remember that he's there and he's promised you that he's never going to leave you or forsake you. And also look for his mercy. Look what it says here in verse 21. It says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Now, you say, Pastor, that seems like a kind of a weird thing to say that he showed God, Joseph mercy. He's sitting in prison. Well, see, God doesn't leave him alone. God gives him something to help him realize, Joseph, hey, look, I'm still in charge. I'm still in control. I'm still here with you. And Potiphar's house, he became lifted up to being the one in charge of the house from just a regular slave all the way in a very short period of time because God was with him. God was blessing everything he was doing. He was showing Joseph mercy. God didn't have to do that. God knew that Joseph needed to go through this prison experience of life so that way someday down the road, he was going to go from the prison to the palace and he would need to be toughened up a little bit. Joseph probably would have never learned with wearing that pretty coat in Canaan the things he needed to learn for the day someday he was going to be in charge of a nation that was going to feed the world. And Joseph had to learn these lessons. And as he was learning these lessons, he had to go through this prison time so God could show him something. But God begins to show him a little bit of mercy. So what does that do for us? Even when we're in the prison times, we should look for God's mercy. We should seek God's mercy. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, mercy means not getting what we deserve. It refers to compassion. It refers to forgiveness shown towards someone who is within one's power to punish or harm. And what God is saying is that he is a merciful God. He even says in Psalms 103:17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. What the Bible is saying there is if you fear the Lord, he will demonstrate and show you mercy forever. From everlasting to everlasting. And here, while even in the prison cell of life, Joseph is receiving the mercy of God. Now, things could always be worse than what they are right now. We need to look and look for God. We need to remember that he's with us and see God working in our lives. And we need to be looking for that mercy. And we need to say, you know what? God could be doing this. I could be on my way to hell, but because Jesus Christ saved my soul, I'm on my way to heaven. That's one merciful thing we can always look at. But we live in a country where we can come and worship. You have a lot of benefits, a lot of things that are going well, a lot of things that are going good. But if we focus in being boxed in into that prison cell or that prison experience of life, we're never going to see God. We're never going to look for God. We need to stop looking at all the issues and looking at all the problems and looking at all the circumstances and look up and see Jesus, our author and finisher of faith, and believe that God is with us and that God wants to give us mercy. The second thing, not only is that we need to see God, the second thing that I think is important here is we need to surrender to God. We need to surrender to God. Take your Bibles all the way to the back part of your Bibles at 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. We've been studying 1 Peter on Wednesday nights, and there was some great scripture in here that I think that is we can make an application here, and I think it can help you about what we should do in the prisons of life, the prison experiences of life. We need to learn how to surrender God. We need to look to God and see God and see God working and see God's mercy. And then we need to say, okay, Lord, if you promise me you're never going to leave me, you promise me you're never going to forsake me, I'm just going to surrender to your will. Even if I'm in a prison experience or if I'm in the palace or if I'm back home, Joseph says, no matter what it is that I face, I'm not selling short for the devil. I'm not selling short for the Satan. His life wasn't for sale and he surrenders to God. Look what it says here in 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to read verses 21 through 24. In 1 Peter chapter 2, there is a lot of verses where God is telling us there are certain things that we should be doing. And because of that, we're supposed to be doing these things. Some of these things are very difficult and very hard. But in verse 21, it says that he leaves us an example. It says, verse 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Jesus Christ left us an example of how we should act when sufferings and when we're having prison experiences of life. It says in verse 21, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, not just showing us how it should done, that instead we're supposed to follow these steps. Look, it says in verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. So he had done nothing wrong, but he still had to suffer. Verse 23, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. He didn't try to fight back. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. That's the phrase I want you to think about. That's a phrase I think it'd be good to answer, write down in your Bible, to mark in your Bible. But committed himself to him that judges righteously. The story that Jesus Christ went through, he suffered. He was falsely accused. He was beaten. All these things that were said about him. But you know what he did? He took his life and he committed himself to God the Father. He said, Lord, I am giving this all over to you because I know that you are the righteous judge. And this is what Joseph is doing. He's in prison. He has done nothing wrong. And what he has done to his life, he says, here, I'm giving you my life, Lord. I'm just going to let you do what you want with it because I know that you are a righteous judge. I know that you will always do what is right. Look what it says in verse 24. And it tells the reason why Jesus did these things. Who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. You know, there was a problem. Jesus Christ saw that we had a problem, that we were sinners. We were on our way to hell. We had no way and no hope to get to heaven. But Jesus Christ came to this world. He was willing to suffer. He was willing to commit himself and commit his work to God and let him take care of all the issues, let him take care of all the problems, because he had a purpose in his life. He had something he needed to do. He needed to die for the sins of mankind. He says, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. We say, okay, pastor, that is Jesus Christ. There's no way we can do that. What does he say? Verse 21. He left us an example. This is how we're supposed to act. This is how we're supposed to live. When we're falsely accused, we don't go around falsely accusing someone back. It's not something we get angry, get upset, we give up, we get bitter, we throw in the towel and say, I'm misunderstood, I'm discouraged, I'm confused, I don't know what's going on, I feel like I'm trapped, I'm in a prison experience, what do? I look for God. I see God. Then I surrender to God. I take my life, and it says here in verse 20, it says at the end of verse number 23, he says, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. I'm committing myself to God. I'm giving it over to God. Look what some of the other verses says earlier in the chapter. Look what it says in verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. Now, it's saying that we should obey the government. First of all, if the government tells us to do something anti-God, we always obey God rather than man. So that's but it's saying that we should obey the government there. You know, why should we do that? It says for the Lord's sake. If we're committing our life to God, then we say, okay, it's the Lord's sake. This is why I'm going to be a good citizen. Let's look what it says in verse 16. As free, not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. Here's another thing is that, well, you know, we don't abuse the liberty that God's given us, but instead we use that as a servant of God for his honor, for his glory. Look what it says in verse 17. It says, honor all men. Now that is really hard to do. I had a guy this past week I was talking to, and he told me, he says, if you want respect, you got to earn respect. I understand that. But I told him, look, there's a verse in the Bible that says you're supposed to honor all men. Not all men deserve to be honored, that's for sure. But the Bible says here that there's certain things that we need to do. Why are we doing these things? We're doing it for the Lord's sake. We're doing it because we're servants of God. It says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And that's talking about the leaders. And you know what? Sometimes I believe we have a lot of leaders that aren't worth honoring today that we live in. But the Bible says there's something we need to do. So how can you do that? Well, I'm a servant of God. As a servant of God, and for the Lord's sake, I'm going to honor men. I'm going to fear the Lord. I'm going to love the brotherhood. I'm going to honor the king. Why is that? Because I am taking my life and I am committing my life to God, the one who judges righteously. So when I am in a prison experience and when I don't see what's going on and I can't figure out, I feel discouraged, disappointed, depressed. I feel overwhelmed. I have no idea what I'm going to do. I'm going to go see God. I'm going to look for God in this situation. I'm going to ask God for help, seek God's mercy, and then I'm going to surrender to God. God, I don't understand this. Why would you let this happen? You think about Joseph sitting here, a 20-year-old young man, has all these skills, has all these talents. God is blessing him. God is using him. He did what was right. He said no to Potiphar's wife, and he is sitting in a prison cell, and I'm sure he's overwhelmed. How about you? Is your life that bad? Do you have that many bad things going on to where you're stuck and desperate? You know, sometimes we have a pity party. Sometimes we like to feel sorry for ourselves. Sometimes we feel like, oh, woe is me. You get to Joseph's life, you see what's going on in Joseph's life, and you know what? We really have no reason to complain. We have no reason to get upset because we have God. He is showing us mercy. All we have to learn how to do is surrender to Him. Give over to Him. Say, Pastor, you don't know what's going on. He says, you don't know what's going on with my family. You don't know what's going on with my work. You don't know what's going on in my country. You don't know. He says, there's no way I can just give it over to the Lord. The reality of it is, how are you doing trying to fix it? I mean, how are you doing by taking it, worrying about it, stressing over it, about trying to make things happen in your own strength, in your own power, in your own way? How much are you accomplishing? Reality is not very much. Why don't we commit our lives over to that one who judges righteously and give it over to God? Say, Pastor, you don't know. I've been falsely accused. I've been lied about. I've been this. I've been that. Give it over to the Lord. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Let God have it. Let God deal with it. Because many times when we let bitterness and anger and frustration, we lock ourselves into that prison experience and we become discouraged, disappointed, overwhelmed, not sure what we're going to do, and we stop looking for God. We stop trying to see God, and we stop surrendering our life to God. The third thing I want you to see, and the last thing is, not only do we see God, surrender to God, let's serve God. Let's serve God. You see here in this story, Joseph has a choice. I don't know about you, but my thinking here is, if I'm stuck in prison, I'm not going to do anything. You might say, oh, Pastor, you're wrong, you're bitter. You know what? If I've gone through all this, I've done all these things, they put me in prison, I'm just going to sit there, I'm going to eat my meals, whatever it is, and I'm just going to wait my time out and just expect God to do something. That's not what Joseph does. We see Joseph here, while in the prison cell, we see him working, we see him serving, we see the opportunities that he takes advantage of, and you know what happens? Joseph is made, in a sense, the master of the prison. You go back to Genesis chapter number 39. It says the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. You know what? The prison is a place of opportunity. The prison is a place of opportunity. You say, Pastor, what type of opportunity can you get out of prison? Well, in prison, Joseph learns about God's presence, God's providence, God's purposes, and God's power. I tell you, in the prison times of life are the times where we look for God and we seek after God. You think about it, Daniel would have never learned about God's power over the lions until he was first cast into the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have never always understood how God could deliver from the fire unless they had gone through the experience. The disciples would have never known about the storm and how God could control it unless they had gone through that. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus would never have understood that Jesus is the resurrection of life until Lazarus had died and Jesus revealed that to them. Think about the multitudes. They didn't know that Jesus could feed them with five loaves and two fishes. When a problem in a prison time of life that we go through, He sustains us. He makes our lives problems greater than us. And we have to learn how to trust in Him. We learn the truth that prisons of life are not designed to stop us, but they're designed to strengthen us. When God allows you to go through something, He's not trying to hurt you. He's not trying to harm you. He is trying to make you better and make you ready to be able to strengthen you, to do something greater for Him down the road. And this is what's happening in Joseph's life. We know the story. You say, well, I could spend 10 years in prison if it meant that I got to be second in charge of the greatest nation in the world at that point in time. Joseph doesn't know that. All Joseph can do is surrender his life to God, and now he can serve God even while in prison. If we really understood the fact that our prisons are opportunities, we would not keep on asking why. We would not keep on asking what. Instead, we would see God and say, God, please take this, make this work all together for good, as it talks about in Romans 8:28. That these are the opportunities we have while being in the prison experience of life. Not only is a prison a place of opportunity, the prison is a place of obedience. A place of obedience. Notice that even in prison, Joseph remained faithful to him. I know some of us have heard this saying, God wants you to bloom where you're planted. What does that mean? Wherever you're at, regardless of the circumstances, the problems that you may be having, God expects you to remain faithful, He expects you to serve Him, and He expects you to bloom where He has placed you at. Now, life does not just happen. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. There is no such thing as a coincidence. God is in complete control, and we must submit to His will instead of living in rebellion of His will and say, God, wherever You put me at, that's where I'm at, that's where I'm going to serve, and that is where I am going to bloom, that is where I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. But is that the story of many people's lives? No, people say, hey, it's my family's fault. I can't live for God because of the fact that if my family did it, I would do it. If I had a better preacher, if I had a better Sunday school teacher, if my country was better, or if my school was better, or if this, and we make up so many reasons and so many excuses. Well, it's my job's fault, or it's my friend's fault, or it's my neighbor's fault. And we make up so many reasons why we cannot serve God where we are at, but in the prison experiences of life. It's a place of opportunity. But it's a place where we can just obey. Remember, God wants us to do what He has called us to do and just remain faithful and commit those things to Him who judges righteously. It's also a place of overcoming, too. The prison experience of life is a place of overcoming. And this is the cool part of the story. Joseph doesn't stay in prison for the next 50 years. He gets out. You know what? He was placed over an assignment by his father. He was placed over a household by Potiphar. He was placed over a prison by the prison keeper. And he was placed over a nation by Pharaoh. But you know what? God put him in each of these situations. Why is that? There was a purpose. There was something that needed to happen. He needed to go through these different experiences to make him ready to someday be the prime minister of Egypt and to be in control of Egypt. He learned it at Potiphar's house. He learned it while in the prison. He learned it at home. Now he is going to be second in charge. Where did he get these answers? Where did he learn how to do these things? It was the prison experiences of life. And as we pass through these prison experiences of life, God is merely training us. When we are found faithful in these valleys, we are allowed to experience greater levels of authority and blessing. God uses the difficulties of life to grow us so that we might have, that He might use us in a wonderful way, even more than we could ever imagine. I know that none of us really like these prison experiences. Most of us just like the prime minister experiences. But you're never going to get to the palace unless you go through the prison. You're never going to get to the spot that God wants to use you in a way that is in a supernatural way that you never thought you could be used unless you're willing to go through these experiences so He can take you and He can mold you and He can make you. So, Pastor, what are you getting at? What's your choice? When you have a prison experience of your life, what are you going to do? And I've been in the prisons before, not because I've been convicted of something, but, you know, going out and trying to win people to Christ with Rock Ages Prison Ministry. And you know what? There's some people that are bitter there. It seems like almost everybody says they're innocent. They've never done anything wrong. And it's, you know what? They're just not willing to accept where they're at and try to learn and grow from it. How does that apply to you that's never been convicted of a crime? You think about it. These things that happen into your life happen for a reason. And sometimes sometimes we turn around and we just do not serve God, and we like to blame our circumstances, blame our mate, blame our children, blame whoever it is, and just become bitter. You have a choice. What are you going to do in the prison experiences of life? You can look for God. You can see God. You can surrender to God's will. And then you can serve Him. Even in prison, God was able to use Joseph. And Joseph was able to serve. And because Joseph had all the knowledge there, and because Joseph was the doer of it, he meets the butler, and he meets the person who carries the wine to the king. And you see, because of that, he's going to get to know the king, and as he's going to get to know the Pharaoh, he's going to become second in charge. Why was that? It's because he didn't sit around sucking his thumb, whining, complaining because of where he was at in life. He decided to see God in the situation. He decided to serve God and surrender to God. We never see God because we feel so bad about our prison experiences. We feel so bad for ourselves. And I'm not minimizing it. I know what we go through hurts us. I know what we go through sometimes is a hard road to go. But we're supposed to give that burden over to the Lord. Let Him carry the burden. We're supposed to yoke up with Him and say, God, whatever it is you want me to, I'm going to see you working in my life. I'm going to surrender to you, and I'm going to serve you right where you put me at. That's here at Faith Baptist Church. That's with the family you live with. That's at the job where you're at. Serve you right there in the midst of a crooked generation. I'm going to bloom where you planted me. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.